Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of the show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here with vital insights from God's word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
Praise the Lord, folks. Welcome to the fastest half hour on radio where we learn to discern the difference between good and evil, light and darkness, right and wrong, and God's will for our lives. Hey folks, last time we got together here on the Good Fight Radio Show, we talked about a couple of really monstrous characters, one being Kermit Gosnell, who ran a house of horrors there at his Philadelphia abortion clinic, where he was just recently convicted of three first-degree murders, killing little babies right outside the womb, and the other being Ariel Castro, who kidnapped three gals and kept them as sex slaves for 10 years until he was finally found out. Well, both of these relate to the abortion controversy quite highly, and I want to bring that up again only for a few moments, and then I want to get into some really heavy things about what God has to say about all of this. But it's interesting when we look at Gosnell, the normal procedure of abortion, which is taking the life of a child, in my opinion, in the womb, oftentimes with him, the baby would survive the abortion, and there are many babies through the years that survive abortions only to be killed later, and that's why they had to pass the Infant Protection Act after a baby's born. The doctor is not allowed to continue the murder. Anyways, what we think is interesting about that, and many of us have been discussing, is the whole idea about, you know, the botched abortion and the idea about making sure you kill the baby in the womb before it gets out. What's going on here? We talked about how, you know, this baby is obviously alive. If it's a botched abortion, that means it survived a murder, folks, and then it's not allowed to be murdered a moment outside the womb. What was going on with the baby inside the womb? If the baby was birthed prematurely, certainly that baby would have been considered alive after being birthed even, 4 months prematurely. But this doesn't make any sense to me, personally. I mean, it's not logical. If a baby's born prematurely, 4 months prematurely, they fight like crazy to keep that baby alive and put it on, respirators and really high-tech machinery. What are they trying to do? They're trying to keep it alive so it won't die. In other words, the baby was alive in the womb. And if we go in the womb at that time and kill the baby, folks, that's simply murder if we're honest about it. Now, we're also talking about Ariel Castro, the man who I just mentioned had kidnapped three gals and kept them all for approximately about 10 years, repeatedly raping each one of them. But he's not just being charged with, kidnapping and repeated rapes. He's being charged with five murders, multiple murders. Why? Because of the murder of five unborn babies. Think about the implications. Why is he being charged with murder if we're told that these babies aren't really babies? It's just blobs of tissue. It's just cells or potential life. Because deep down, we know he should be charged for murder because we know deep down these are babies. In fact, what he did over and over again, he starved Michelle Knight. She's the gal who lost five children because of this monster. He starved her for 2 weeks at a time when he would find out that she was pregnant. Then he'd continually bludgeon her in the stomach with his fist until she finally miscarried and he'd kill her baby. Folks, we know it's murder. But when we think about this, what's going on in our nation? We've sanctioned the murder of 55 million children. It's an abhorrent Holocaust, folks. And we need to be honest with what's going on. But we want to just ignore it and just say, hey, you know what? We don't want to be inconvenienced by certain children. You see, it's okay to kill certain children as long as they're not wanted. But if they're wanted and the mother wants them and the baby's killed, hey, you know, then it's murder. But if the mom doesn't want it, well, guess what? That baby's status changes. All of a sudden, he's not a person. Well, no, it's the same baby one way or another. This is arbitrary. This is inconsistent. This is a double standard. This is utter hypocrisy. I mean, think about California here a few years back where we had Scott Peterson, another monster, who killed his wife with a baby in her womb and then threw her off a bridge. Well, you know what? He was charged and sentenced to death for two murders, the murder of his wife and the murder of his unborn baby, because it was unborn, but it indeed was a baby, folks. What I want to talk about in this program is the scriptural evidence that reveals God's view, how the scriptures are clear. If you claim to be a Christian, you can't avoid the fact that God makes it crystal clear that the baby in the womb is indeed a child, and he views such as a child. In fact, our opinions really don't matter. They don't amount to a hill of beans. What really matters is God's commands, what God says. He's the one who created us. He's the one who knows the real deal. He's the one that will stand before to give an account for our lives. He's the one that will sentence us into an eternity of heaven or hell. See, God reveals that he created us in his image. Male and female made he them in his image, the scriptures say. And we read in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, long before we even see the law of Moses, God says this, "Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made mankind." Now, it's amazing when we look at the book of Exodus as well, and we see God's Old Testament legal code, we read this, very interesting verses, beginning in chapter 21, verse 22. "When men strive together, two guys duking it out, a brawl, and hit a pregnant woman, so that her children come out, but there is no harm, the one who hit her shall surely be fined, as the woman's husband shall impose on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if there is harm, then you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe." In other words, folks, if there's a fight going on and the woman inadvertently gets hit by the assailant in the stomach area and the baby is prematurely born, if the baby is not harmed, that guy still owes a fine because of the premature birth. However, if the baby dies, guess what? He has to pay with his life. This shows us that the unborn baby has the same legal status as a living child as the born child, according to God's word. You see, in scripture, we see God's viewpoint. Here in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 24, we read this, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb." Psalm chapter 139, one of the most incredible psalms in the entire Bible, says this, "For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are all thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts. O God, vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand of the sea. I awake and I am still with you." End quote. Folks, that's quite amazing. The Lord God makes it clear in Isaiah, the book of Psalms here, in Jeremiah, Galatians, several books of the Bible, that he's actually forming us in the womb. He has a plan for us. And here, toward this little child in the womb, and as he gets older, his thoughts toward the psalmist are more than the sands of the sea, folks. Think about that. Next time you're at the beach, grab a handful of sand and just begin to start counting each grain of sand and see how long it takes you to, you know, count that handful of sand. Folks, guess what? You're not going to be able to do it. Nightfall will come before you even get into a small fraction of that handful of sand. Now multiply that. Look throughout the beach, down the coast, and realize all the sand and all the beach of the world cannot attain to the amount of thoughts that God has toward us. And he has those thoughts toward children in the womb. He made them. He loves them. He created them. How dare we? We have no right to take a child that God made, that God created, that God has all these wonderful thoughts toward and all these wonderful plans toward. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the incarnate word, he compassionately said, quote, "Let the little children come unto me and don't prevent them," end quote. The scriptures also say in Luke 18:15, "And they were bringing even their babies to him in order that he might touch them, so Jesus could bless them." Jesus said of the children, of the babies, he said that each of them have their own angels who continually behold the face of the Father. And he said that if we cause even one of the little ones to stumble, it would be better that a large millstone be hung around our neck and that we be cast in the depths of the sea. In the book of Jeremiah, we read about Jeremiah when he was in the womb, or actually prior to when he was even in the womb. In fact, we read in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying," quote, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations," end quote. It's in this great book of Jeremiah where we read that God does not plan destruction for us, but to give us a hope and a future. Tragically, we read in the prophets that God has these wonderful plans for us, but because of free will, because he's given humans free choice, that people commit murder, commit all kinds of crimes for which they will be held accountable. In fact, Jeremiah himself, he states this, if he would have died prematurely in the womb, he says this in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 17, quote, my mother might have been my grave, end quote. In other words, guess what? He's looking at the womb there as a grave. In other words, he was alive and he would be dead. In fact, the Lord said he knew him before he was even in the womb. In Galatians 1:15, the Apostle Paul says that he was set apart from his mother's womb. Folks, a lot of people like to play a name game, so we alleviate guilt and we give license to murder. So they say, it's not really a baby, it's a fetus. As though fetus, means some kind of, undefined blob of cells. No, we are talking about literal children here. Luke, who is called the, quote, beloved physician, end quote, in Colossians chapter 4:14 by the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he used the word bephos, B-E-P-H-O-S, as a transliteration of the Greek, to define the unborn infant, John the Baptist, and regarded John the Baptist when Luke was writing about him, when John the Baptist was in his mother Elizabeth's womb. Now, it's interesting because bephos is a Greek word that is used for, quote, a breathing, nursing infant. In fact, it's the word that's used of Jesus after he was born as a child. The same word is used for John the Baptist when he was in his mother's womb. Folks, the child in the womb is just that, a human child, fearfully and wonderfully made, knit together by God. Now, many want to say, life doesn't really begin until the child begins to actually breathe oxygen and takes his first breath. Because after all, the Bible says God breathed into Adam, made him a living soul. Well, folks, you don't have to take a breath of oxygen with your mouth to breathe oxygen, to actually have oxygen that gives us life. In fact, it's interesting. We know from science, it's just an established, almost everybody knows this, that the baby actually receives its nourishment from the placenta. It's from the placenta connected to the umbilical cord, connected to the baby, that the baby receives nourishment. And guess what? It also receives oxygen. Its blood is oxygenated through the umbilical cord. It's breathing already, folks. Now, it's interesting because a similar phenomena or principle takes place during open heart surgery because of the technology that we have. See, we're still trying to catch up to God's technology because us humans, even with our creative abilities that God has given us, can't match what God has already done. And it's interesting because when the open heart surgery takes place, sometimes they have to do what's called a cardiopulmonary bypass. That's where oxygen is enabled to get into the bloodstream. Even though the lungs are artificially ventilated, they're not actually pumping air or oxygen, I should say, into the bloodstream. The blood is actually being oxygenated by the cardiopulmonary bypass. We would never say, well, that person, they're not really alive. This guy during open heart surgery, he's not breathing, therefore he's not alive. Let's just, you can cut his throat, everything's fine. No, that's ridiculous. That would be murder. What's murder of a child? That child is also a living person. So I've mentioned to you that the same word that's used of John the Baptist when he was in his mother's womb was used of Jesus after he was born. It's the same word for a child. Now, it's interesting. John the Baptist was an amazing character. There was no greater prophet, said the Lord Jesus. He was prophesied to come at least twice in the Old Testament, Malachi and also in Isaiah. We're told that he'd be the voice that's crying in the wilderness that would prepare the way for Jesus. Now, what's interesting is that about 6 months after Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist, he was 6 months in her womb, Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit. She conceived the Lord Jesus Christ. So get the picture here. John the Baptist is in Elizabeth's womb. There she is pregnant 6 months. Then her sister Mary conceives the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting. Look what happens when Mary goes over to Elizabeth's house, when Elizabeth is still pregnant, 6 months, and Mary has just been impregnated. She's just conceived. Look what Luke says, beginning in chapter 1, verse 39, and I read it, quote, now, at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy. What's happening there, folks? Well, guess what? John the Baptist, 6 months old in the womb, when Elizabeth receives the news that Mary has conceived Jesus, the Savior, John the Baptist, leaps in her womb. He rejoices at 6 months old. Folks, what are we seeing here? We're seeing that It's not mere tissue. You know, John the Baptist was not a mere blob of cells or simply a potential person. No, he was a living human being leaping in the womb. What does this further reveal to us? It wasn't just John the Baptist that was considered a human being 6 months in the womb, but it was right after Mary conceived the Lord Jesus Christ. Right after conception, John the Baptist is leaping for joy at 6 months old in Elizabeth's womb over Jesus who had just come into the world and just been conceived. Because guess what? John the Baptist was rejoicing that the Savior was in the world, that he was living, he was there. And that was just after conception, folks. Yes, indeed, the scriptures reveal to us that life begins at conception. Well, folks, we're going to take a quick break, less than 30 seconds, so don't touch that dial, to talk about this very, very important subject.
You're listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. If you'd like to learn more about our life-changing resources, such as They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and The Submerging Church, check out our website at goodfightradio.org.
Folks, we're in a spiritual war here. You see, the scriptures tell us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The abortion industry, this huge holocaust of 55 million children, is not unlike what happened in Nazi Germany. Satan hates the Christian faith. He hates Jesus. He hates Israel. He tried to exterminate the Jews through the demon-possessed Adolf Hitler. He's getting glory from 55 million children being innocently murdered here in our country. In fact, the scriptures tell us that the demon gods, the Bible says the gods of the nations are demons, these idols, that behind these idols we learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in the book of Psalms, and also in the Mosaic Law, that they're demonic entities that are using these false gods. And these demonic entities demanded the blood of all their victims. In fact, many of these demonic entities demanded blood from their victims. The psalmist writes of this practice and God condemns it. Psalm 106 verse 37 says, "Yea, they sacrifice their sons and their daughters to devils." Verse 38 says, "And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood." Folks, our land here in the United States is polluted with blood. The blood is crying out to God. How can this nation be blessed? We see all the turmoil. We see all the immorality. We see all the crime. We see all the poverty. You know what, folks? How can a government, how can a people sanction the murder of innocents and expect to be blessed by God? This indeed is a form of human sacrifice. It may not be to Baal. It may not be to Molech. It may not be to another god. It may be to the god of self. Just because, hey, I don't want another child. Either way, it's someone's being put before God, and kids are suffering the price. In Satanism, some of them will abort their children because they believe, hey, it's a child, many of them, and this is the way to commit a human sacrifice and do it legally. In fact, it's interesting, Marilyn Manson may be an example of this. He took his girlfriend, and by the way, Marilyn Manson had been a very popular artist for quite some time, and he took his girlfriend to an abortion clinic, and they aborted the child, and Marilyn Manson wanted to keep the child as some kind of, it seemed like a trophy, of like a sacrifice. And it's interesting, he's a card-carrying member of the Church of Satan. Now, certainly the prophets lived during a time when the kingdom of Judah was being judged by God for sacrificing their children to devils. And the judgment of God was about to fall. Why would it fall? Jeremiah 32:35 says, "And they built the high places to Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom. They caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin." Genesis chapter 4 verse 9 says, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What is this you have done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out unto me from the ground." In Proverbs chapter 6 verse 17, the Lord says that he hates hands that shed innocent blood. Folks, if you are considering committing an abortion, recognize it's murder, and God's using this program to say, stop right now. That's a child. That's somebody that I've made. You have no right to shed this child's blood. Folks, if you've been involved, if you've encouraged a woman to commit an abortion, or you're a woman and you've committed an abortion, there's mercy at the cross. You simply have to recognize your sin. You have to recognize it for what it is and just ask God for forgiveness. Let him know that you're sorry, that you repent, that you understand as a child now. Psalm chapter 32 verse 5 says this, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you," that is to the Lord, "and I do not cover up my iniquity. And then it goes on to say, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. If you acknowledge your sin, God says he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. How could he forgive us of such atrocities? Well, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him should be saved. Folks, the Bible says that in Christ, there's no condemnation. The point is this, you have to repent though. You have to turn from your sins. You have to confess it before the Lord and receive forgiveness because Jesus paid for the crime you committed on the cross. If you reject Jesus and reject the mercy that he offers through the cross, you will have to pay for your own sins for eternity in hell. But if you embrace him as your Lord and Savior now, you'll be forgiven of your sins and you'll be washed and the healing will begin. And God wants to use you now. He wants to use you as a voice that cries out for the little children. I hope the whole Good Fight Radio audience listens to this last scripture. Look at what the Lord God says in Proverbs 24:11. Quote, deliver those who are being taken away to death and those who are staggering to slaughter. Oh, hold them back. If you say, see, we did not know this, does he not consider it who weighs the hearts? And does he not know it who keeps your soul? And will he not render to each man according to his work? I want to encourage you folks to stand up lovingly and lawfully for the unborn, those that don't have voices. They're the most victimized folks on the planet, and they don't have a voice. You need to be their voice, and we need to be like prophets that speak to the state and speak to the world. That murder will be held into account, that there needs to be repentance, and then forgiveness can take place, and then restoration can take place. Well, folks, we've come to the end of our time, and we'd like to thank you for getting together with us again. This time, we look forward to gathering together with you next time on the Good Fight Radio Show. Until then, we encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus and your hands upon the plow. May God richly bless each and every one of you. God bless.
You've been listening to Pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.
Let's not forget that the arts are a compelling solution to teen violence. They're certainly not the cause of it.
Our schools are turning into killing fields.
Is it true that Satan is working behind the scenes in pop culture and music, influencing our families?
Why is this happening?
They're certainly not the cause of it. Not the cause of it.
They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll reveals rare footage that MTV and VH1 would dare not show you.
This is something that the Church of Satan is conducting on many different avenues. We're doing this through the use of what we have called aesthetic terrorism. This involves the creative use of art, music.
This unbelievable rockumentary will have you picking your jaw up off the floor.
Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan, declared, "Today's satanic bands are the vehicle of choice for millions of young people. If they encourage a study of real Satanism, I'm all for them. Music can inspire people to murder or violence, can inspire them to shoot a mall full of people."
They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll is one of many resources offered by Pastor Joe Schimmel and Good Fight Ministries, used to equip parents, educators, pastors, and various ministry leaders around the world with vital information needed to safeguard convert youth and adults alike from the overwhelming draw of society's destructive influences.
Just keep this in mind. They're playing our CDs when you're not home, in your own car. And I'm influencing your children.
Pick up your copy of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll today by visiting www.goodfight.org.
I'm glad you're influenced by us. Do you need drugs? Go home and smoke something.
They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll is the presentation you can't afford to miss.
Listen, if you're ever going to commit a crime, you should do it now because you're still a minor.
And I'm influencing your children.